You call war, we call it murder. Now I'm on the run, do you know who I am? Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Oh, show the world you don't practice what you preach. Thank God there's some of you who expose the truth. Otherwise we'd never known what you're up to. Cause you call war, we call it murder. Now I'm on the run, do you know who I am?
Welcome to Kaput Radio. I'm Martin, and I present weekly news and review, first with Stephen Wright, regular contributor to the Overland Literary Journal, and second with Sue Stockman from the Northern Rivers Green Party. By the way, your news are proudly presented by an algorithm, that sort of cost-cutting thing, if I was a commercial operator. But I am human, and my interviews are held with real humans, I can assure you of that. You don't need to negotiate with robot lawyers about user rights for this show. But now, without further delay, here's Stephen. Good day, Steve. I was wondering what stands out politically for you from last week. Any issues which come to mind?
Well, it's Mardi Gras this week.
Mardi Gras,
it's probably been washed out. I always feel a little bit conflicted about Mardi Gras because even though, you know, like pretty much everybody else around here, I kind of support drug law reform, I'm not really sure that inviting 5,000 backpackers to town to get stoned and pissed is actually the best way to kind of go about that. And it's always so disruptive as well. It kind of changes the landscape of the town. But there's also so many cops around. It just invites a massive sort of paramilitary police presence, which is really unpleasant.
Yeah. Do you think it's too commercial or it's... Like most festivals seem to
give
small people a little.
I guess one of the benefits is
extra income.
I guess that's one of the benefits, isn't it, for the town? Is that it brings a lot of people to town who are going to spend a lot of money, and so you know businesses and so forth are going to benefit, and that's great as far as it goes. I just wonder if this is the best way to go about it. That's all.
Well, it could be called a water festival.
Yeah.
If they're not lucky, it will rain again. But anyway, apart from the local issues, what do you think about Baltimore and America at the moment?
It
seems to go all over the media.
Well, you know,
every week.
You know, I mean, it's been coming for a long time, hasn't it? In that, I think as the guy who wrote the TV series The Wire said, I can't remember his name just offhand, you know, but cities like Baltimore have pretty much become sites that are just under sort of permanent military occupation by the police, and so these kind of events are kind of going to happen, you know, because we have these extreme acts of police brutality carrying on from kind of generations of racism and institutional discrimination and structural violence, and you know what? That's people are going to be resist that in one way or another.
Well, there's obviously enough disaffection to cause an upset. Of the tiniest incident is enough. No?
There is, yeah. You know,
no, it's not tiny that someone
got killed in
a police van.
But you know, in places like Baltimore and so on, where there is sort of endemic racism and there's always been a huge amount of oppression, people have got very limited ways of expressing their dissatisfaction. You know, because that's the sort of neoliberal sort of consumer police state, is that it doesn't give you any options for kind of expressing your dissent, and then when you do express your dissent, it kind of comes down and you're like a ton of bricks because violence is the thing that it's most comfortable with.
Do you have any thoughts about the British election coming up?
I just feel really, really sorry for the British, and I'm really glad I don't live there anymore. I was born there, and I'm really glad about that.
It seems like the multitude of parties now campaigning.
It's a kind of interesting state because you have these, parties emerging, like the Scottish Nationalist Party and so on, you know, which are sort of fairly left-wing. But you also have an increasing sort of strident right-wing element.
Yeah.
And both of the, what used to be the major parties, the Tories and the Labour, both becoming, you know, the Tories extremely right-wing and Labour drifting more towards the Tories sort of position. It just looks really dangerous and unhealthy, and I'm glad I'm not there.
Well, there's not much to say apart from the hung parliament situation. Apparently, it seems like the most likely.
Yeah, it does, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
How do they ever govern? You know, they're doing anything really except putting new laws into parliament, or
Do they ever want to run their government business as a business, perhaps?
England's a strange place because, you know, England's been built on the thing which is not quite so apparent in Australia, but which is a really stratified class system.
Mm.
And that still governs the politics. I mean, you know, in the UK they still have a House of Lords. And people can still be made life peers, and aristocrats can still own vast amounts of land in a really tiny country like England and have huge amounts of influence and power. Our aristocracy is a little bit different. This is something that's really been calcified into the structure of society and still is in the UK.
You heard Tony Abbott wants to advise the European nations how to deal with migrants from North Africa. Any thoughts apart from
Tony Abbott? Tony Abbott is not just the most incompetent prime minister we've had in modern history.
He is.
But also just kind of the cruelest and the most disturbed. It's really hard to know what to say about him.
I just wonder whether he has such an idiot advisor or whether he's... who he's playing to when he does this?
I think he's playing to the extreme right of the Liberal Party.
Right.
Because they're the ones who are kind of propping him up. They're the ones who are preventing either Turnbull or Bishop sort of shafting him and becoming prime minister themselves. And so he's playing to the extreme right, and as long as he keeps them happy with his brutalist policies, they'll keep him there.
There was the taxation thing seems to linger on, like the inability to tax corporations in this country. Any thoughts on that?
Well, the whole idea of taxation has become something which, put it this way, taxes are the things that we pay to a government so that it can look after us and so that we can look after each other, you know, so that we can have decent hospitals and roads and childcare and healthcare and welfare and all that sort of stuff. That's what taxes are for. But governments use it, historically, recently anyway, have used it to finance the private sector, to encourage neoliberal privatisation, and they use it as a kind of slush fund to punitively demonise us while actually supporting, plutocrats.
Mm.
And the whole idea of the kind of the common good, which was the compact after the war, the welfare state, has just been really, really... attenuated.
Mm-hmm. One could become cynical when you see that tax evasion is actually a virtue amongst
it is. It's become a virtue. It's very easy to become cynical, but that's how you know that the kind of neoliberals are kind of winning, when you start to feel really, really cynical.
Yeah.
You know, their sort of behaviours and the power structures they set up are kind of short-sighted and destructive. But in the end, they'll end up being kind of irrelevant, I think. People will organise and are organising in completely different ways.
Well, that's sort of as much as I could imagine at the moment.
Yeah.
It sticks out.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
See you, mate.
I'm just sharing something. My friend taught me this little dance thingy about Tony Abbott. So you point at your toes, then you point at your knees, you point at your abs, and then you point at your butt. Tony Abbott.
Okay, very well done.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Good day, Sue. You're still involved in making the Nimbin Good Times?
Yes, I am.
So you'd probably be up to date on politics a little bit?
Well, probably,
I hope.
Probably more, because I'm very active with the Northern Rivers Greens.
Yeah. What stands out for you from last week in politics?
For me, I was driving out to Bentley the other day, a couple of days ago, in the rain, and listening to Jeremy Buckingham, who's a Greens Upper House MP in the State Parliament, and newly elected Tamara Smith from Ballina, won the seat of Ballina. And the Greens are going to put up a law next week, which will... Now, this is where I'm not entirely clear. People will have to look it up. Basically, ban coal seam gas mining in the Northern Rivers, or if not only the Northern Rivers, all of New South Wales. This will be a very testing law, because it'll be interesting to see where the ALP and where our dear friends the National Party, where they line up. Because particularly the National Party and our dear representative Thomas George... He made promises during the last election that he was essentially going to be against coal seam gas all of a sudden. So it'll be very interesting to see where his promises lie. Mm. And so that was the most significant thing for me. Mm. The knitting nanas were all out there in force.
There was a judgment recently, wasn't there, about resuming...
That was the Metgasco judgment, which is sort of related.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, Peter Henderson from Metgasco is gung-ho to want to go ahead drilling at Bentley again.
Is it really for drilling, or is it just digging in for more compensation?
Well, it may well be for more compensation. Oh, probably right. Is, yes. I'd say, yeah. But
it seems
we don't know.
Almost impossible. No?
Yeah, yeah. Though the general manager has of Richmond Valley Council, which has control of the Bentley area, has said that he would not pass another DA allowing for an equivalent Bentley camping site to go ahead. Which shows where he's at, but hopefully we won't get to that.
Okay.
But that's been the most significant thing, I think, and for me in the last week.
Mm.
And Nimbin Good Times will have some photos.
Wonderful. Anything overseas like Baltimore? Any thoughts about America's racial policies here?
No, not nothing
it's
that I could...
It's a weekly event, almost.
Oh, it's appalling. Know? It's appalling.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the tax debate here in this country, the taxation of corporations? It's still lingering on as an issue, I suppose.
Oh, well, it does, but no expert in that kind of area. I mean, of course, I support... Yeah. You know, the very wealthy don't pay any tax here in this country. The big corporations barely pay anything.
Mm.
I mean, what's appalling.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sue.
Okay, thank you.
You call it war, we call it murder. Now I'm on the run, do you know who I am? Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Oh, show the world you don't practice what you preach. Thank God there's some of you who expose the truth. Otherwise we'd never known what you're up to.
You, thanks for your kind interest. You heard Stephen Wright, regular contributor to the Overland Literary Journal, which can be found by searching overland.org.au. And then we heard Sue from the Northern Rivers Greens. The sounds are by local musicians Outback Gypsies. My name is Martin, and I was grateful not to attend Nimbin's Hemp Festival. If you are interested, Google YouTube with Nimbin Mardi Gras. Some call it Muddy Grass and a water festival. But that's a subjective opinion. As for me, you can catch me with more Kaput Radio. Bye.
We call it murder. Now I'm on the run.